So we've been walking with Peter, and I'm always amazed how God, you know, I go in sequence because I believe about going in sequence. I think it's really important that when you start a book, you finish the book. Because what happened before is important, what happens next is important, and so if you bounce all over the place, you don't always get the context. So I like to be in a certain book and keep moving through it so we understand the context of what is Peter really talking about. But I never know, like, how's he going to tie it all together? Like, you know, we've been talking about, like, this restoration and this revival all year. We've been talking about, as we got into Peter, about how the Holy Spirit, is in us, and because of the Holy Spirit in us, we don't have to get into all this effort, and we don't have to be holy. We are made holy. Praise be God. And then we got into last week, like, well, it's not, you know, we have our part to play, right? That we have to get rid of all malice. We got to get rid of some baggage. We got to work it too, right? So today, I want to tie those two together. Actually, I want to see how God's going to tie those two together as we continue in Peter, 2 Peter. Actually, it's 1 Peter chapter 2. As we continue with him. And I want to talk to you about a very important subject, which coincidentally, I was just talking to Sean about at the beginning, right before service. I just heard on the radio on the way here about it. I want to talk to you about your destiny. That's a big word. What is your destiny? What is your purpose? Why are you here? This is the age-old question we've been asking for centuries. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What's the point? Especially when we're going through the hard stuff. I mean, then we really get to like, well, what's the point of all this? What is your destiny? What is your personal destiny? Do you know it? So I want to start off with what I tell a lot of people now, because a long time ago when I shared this before with you, a pastor told me this, and it propelled me, so I'm going to propel you. And it was when I was green, I mean green, naive, not knowledgeable about any of it. I came out of a Catholic background, and I love Catholic background, and I love Catholics. They got a reverence that we need, let me tell you. I learned a lot. I grew a lot, but I didn't really get into the Word. I didn't get deep. But then Mary and I were getting ready to get married. Forgive me if you heard the story, but it's so important in my life. It was a life-changing moment. What do we call those in our disciple-making classes? A defining moment. It was a defining moment in my life. And like I'm talking about, you know, you won't understand these things when they happen. You won't get it until it's 5 years later and you look back and it's like, oh, that's how it worked. Wow, that really worked out. That was a great plan. Many times I have my own plans. And I say, hey, God, this is, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to get that room ready, we're going to get furniture in there, we're all ready to go. Okay, ready, God? Okay, you're on board, I need a little money, let's do it. And then all of a sudden he changes it all up. And I'm out in a tent, on a lawn, and it's raining. It's like, no, this wasn't the plan. And all these people from the community start coming under the tent. Now, this isn't a true story. It's just an example of how he works it. You just never know what's going to happen. So anyways, back to my story. We're getting ready to get married. We're going to get married in Catholic Church. And I'm going to Church of God because that's where Mary went. And we're kind of rotating back and forth, okay? And then I meet Arlene. Wow. That woman. That woman would make grown men cry. I mean, tears would be flowing out of their eyes. Remember I told you, I didn't get into the Word that much, I didn't get that message thing much, but I never seen anything like this. And so we eventually decided, well, we're going to get married at Bethany, and I'm going to move from Catholic to Protestant. And I love Catholic, and I love Protestant, don't get me wrong. But there's something about Arlene and about getting into the Word and getting into the message. And so Arlene, as we're getting ready to get married, she says, you know what, Tom? God has something for you to do. God has a special assignment for you. You are going to do great things for God. Now, I am naive. I don't have a clue what this Word is about. I ended up being an apologist because I had to prove that Jesus walked this planet for 2 years. I went through that. Went through another 2 years to figure out who the Holy Spirit is. I was green. I was naive. But she said to me, Tom, you're going to do great things for God. So I'm going to tell each of you, you're going to do great things for God. Are you taking that in? Because I'm speaking truth. Every one of you are going to do great things for God. Debbie, you're going to do great things for God. Do you see it? Do you feel it? Do you know it? Mike, you're going to do great things for God. And I'm getting nods of yes, they know it. LaWanda, you're doing and you are going to do great things for God. Sean, we've been talking. He's preparing you. You're going to do great things for God. And him and I were just talking in the hallway. That doesn't mean you get a big head. You get a big head, you're going to stall it out. You're going to mess up the plan. You're going to not be able to get through the doorway because your head's too big. And what we talked about is the difference between pride and confidence is who gets the credit. If Sean gets the credit, he's in trouble. It's going nowhere fast. But if he gives the credit to God, he'll have the confidence to walk through any door. Connie, you are and you will continue to do great things for God. Rachel, you are doing, you continue to do, and you will do more great things for God. She's lifting her hand. Woohoo! An acknowledgement. Mary, you will do great things for God, and you already are. And I pray for the revelation to see what you're already doing. Julia, every time you get on that keyboard, every time you sing into this mic, you do great things for God. You have no idea the ripple effect that is happening to everyone who hears you. And that's just one aspect, that's just one talent. That you are and continue and will do more great things for God. Roman, I swear this place would fall down. These pillars would just crumble if it wasn't for you. And that isn't to give you a big head because you don't have a big head. That's just hard work. That's getting up on here and redoing the ceiling. I can't even imagine. The beams are that thick on these ceilings. I don't know how you guys got up there and did that. Continually helping to make sure this place stays afoot. You are doing, and he's not done at all. You're going to do greater things for God. Greg, God is preparing you. He's getting you ready. But I will tell you, get ready. Hold on to your seat, man, because you're in for the ride of your life. Seriously, I was told that. I didn't take it seriously. I found out they weren't kidding. You're going to do great, great things for God. Sonetta, wow, what do I say about you? I walk into that nursing home. The love. A place of love. And you just beam. We talked about shining the other week, man. You just shine. You just beam. You just, the Spirit of God is upon you. And Zanetta, you haven't seen anything yet. God is going to do things that are going to blow your mind. God can and will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So I say, ask big. Judy, you're a walking miracle. You are a walking miracle, seriously. God brought you back. He was already forming you, and you were already working it, and you were already learning, you're already in disciple-making classes, you're already gaining and believe and moving. And then this huge setback, and let me tell you, I know about setbacks. I've been there. When I flipped on my bicycle, man, at 30 miles an hour, and took out both arms. I know what I've been there a little bit, just a little bit, not quite as much as you. But even that instance, I said to God, like, okay, we had all these plans. This is messed up, man. I can't even move my arms. What are we going to do now? What about all those plans? And he told me, I guess you're going to need a little help, aren't you? And that's what you needed. You need a little help. But look at you now. You're going to be the helper. You're going to do greater things for God. Mary Lynn, oh, you might be in that house you don't like right now. But you know what? God has you there. You are talking to those people. You are an inspiration for those people. You are a hope for them. You are praying over those. They need you. They need you there. You are doing and you will continue to do great things for God, because you have the Spirit of God in you. See, you have the Spirit of God in you is why you're going to do great things. Connie, we already spoke, right? Sean, we already spoke. Okay. We're good.
We're good.
We're good.
We're right. We're good. Connie, you continue to do great things. You know, for your sister, and for everybody that you have worked with, and for, Mary's making sure I don't miss anybody. I've done this thing before, and I miss people. So if I have missed you, please put up your hand, because I hate when that happens. Bring them.
Yeah.
We talked about Mike. We did. Connie, I'm going to make sure you're covered. All the work you've done, and now you're in this retirement zone. And it's just getting started. Watch what God's going to do. God's going to do amazing things for you. Great things, not just with your family, but outside. Not just with your friend, but outside. More and more things. I can't tell you specifically anything that God's going to do right now. Debbie's recruiting. Mitch, I don't even know you yet. But I was really impressed when I met you and you had this coat on about Jesus. That takes guts. It really takes guts. I'm sorry to say it does, because it shouldn't, but it's just showing who you are. So I know that God has amazing plans for you of what He's going to do in your life and how He's going to move in you. So watch for it. See what's going to happen. Travis. And what did I say about Travis? You are just like the rock, you know, always dependable, always there. Always the person, if I'm out of town, I can call and make sure everything's together. But it's not just that. It's all the way back to when we were in youth group. You always just leaned in, and learned about God and let God move you and move through you. And God's going to do great, great things in you and through you. Trinity.
Harmony.
Harmony. I'm sorry. I knew this was going to happen to me. Harmony, I'm so sorry. I get confused. Again, I've just met you, which accounts for my messing up names. But you have a destiny. God has a movement in your life that you don't even know yet. It's just beginning to form. God is working it. Watch for the signs. Watch for what he's doing. Watch for what you can help somebody as you move in somebody else's life. Those would be indicators of where he's taking you. You've got much time ahead of you, but God is going to do great, great things through you. Samantha.
Sarah.
You messing me up here. Sarah. Again, I can only see what movement God is doing through you with the Spirit of God in you. But God has a plan for you, Sarah. He's got a destiny for you. He's got a movement in your life that you don't even know about. Watch for it. Little Gregory, we have prayed over you many, 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 many times. And God has come through every time. And he will continue to come through. You can always depend on him. You can always walk with him. You can always be with him. You will do amazing and great things for God. Jacob. I know, man. She doesn't be up here. Jacob. You astound me. You really do. You are a man of God. And I always see that in you. You always try to do what would please God. You come right off, same as your mom and your dad. Yet always wanting to please God. And God will bless you in that. He will continue to form you. And you are doing and will continue to do amazing, mind-blowing things for God. Lexi, wow, your potential is off the chart. God, I've watched you grow and I've seen you change, and it's only beginning. And God is continually to form in you and to change you from the inside out and take you from this introvert to more of an extrovert. I know because I'm an introvert. And God is just moving in you. Watch for it. Watch for the changes. And look to others to see the changes, because you won't see them yourself. You're too close. You won't see it. It's happening too gradual. But God has a mission. He has a vision. He has a destiny for your life.
Sarah.
Now you guys are really tripping me up. Give me two of the same names. Sarah. Watch what God has in store for you. Look for it. Pray for it. Get into his word. And he will show you your path. Clear as day. Continue to watch for it. But God is going to have you do amazing things for others, for yourself, and for the world. Everyone. It's.
Yeah, Tom. Pastor Tom. Lena. Next
Lena.
Harmony is Lena.
Okay. You guys are tripping me up, man. Lena. I'm so sorry, sweetie. My vision's gone, too. sweetie, I have talked with you. You have joined us in our Doing Life group. And we walked with you through a period of time. And you handled it so well. You're so strong. You're stronger than you know. You have a kindness in you. You have this light in you. God will use that and move in you. And move into others. All of you guys. regardless if I flub up your names or whatever, I'm telling you that you have the Spirit of God in you. And that is changing you, transforming you from the inside out. And other people will benefit from that. So, Lena, God is going to do amazing and great things through you. So that's what.
Pastor Tom.
Yes.
I'd like to speak for the congregation. You have done great things.
Amen.
What I'm going to say to that is I give all the glory to God, but that's what Arlene said. I thought she was off her rocker. Seriously. You have no idea who I was when she said that to me. How naive, how green. I didn't know anything. I questioned whether or not Jesus walked this planet. I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. I didn't know anything. But since that time, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. She said you're going to do, it felt like a singular great thing for God, and I found out it wasn't one thing. And I'm telling all of you, it's not one thing. You're going to do many, 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 many things. You're going to have ripple effect on many people. You're going to move in many lives. So I apologize. I got names wrong, and I don't know all of you as well as I want to. I want to know you better. But, and I'll tell you, that is a clue. That is a key. Just ask people about themselves. Ask them about them instead of you. I wish I would have learned that when I was your age. That is a key to life. Take an interest in somebody else and watch what happens. And they will just light up like a Christmas tree because you took an interest in them. And they give you an inroads to find out how you can help them. Miss Laura, your legacy is like so large. All these kids, I mean, Prince was baptized because of you. Prince was baptized because of you. He told me that. It was your influence on him that helped him see who Jesus was. It was your influence on him that helped him move to the place where he wanted to be baptized. And not just him. All these kids, man, they come back and they are so excited about throwing water balloons at Goliath or running around in that room until you're exhausted. And Jennifer, you're another one who's just there for these kids, and you are constantly learning and growing and digging deeper. Man, give me another book. Give me something else to learn. I want to know more about God. And that is such a gift. See, these are gifts. Laura, you are amazing. You've already done amazing things for God, but he's only getting started, and you will do many more things. Many more of those kids. Many more things outside that realm. Jennifer, he's just getting started with you. God has a plan for your life. It is already being worked out. I'm telling you, you won't know the plan until 5 years is gone past and you look back. Then it will all come clear. I'm going to get into scripture. Let's see what Peter has to say about this. Remember who Peter is. See, Peter didn't think he had a destiny either. Peter didn't think that you know, he thought he was a good fisherman. He was. He knew his trade. But he thought that was it. He thought that's all he was going to do until he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, everything changed. I'm going to go to verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I don't know how far we're even going to get now. As you. See, we're not going to get very far. As you. The onus is on you. You got to make that move. God's already making a ton of moves. But he's waiting for you to make the next move. As you step up. As you get on the platform. As you speak. As you come to him. There it is. That's the secret of the whole thing. As you come to Him, it's like what I was talking with Sean. It's not about Sean. It's about who is in Sean. As you come to Him, as you come to Jesus, that power, that might that we sang about becomes in you. As you come to Him, the living stone, He's alive. We just celebrated that at Easter. Rejected by humans. Oh, we got that going on, don't we? But chosen by God and precious to Him. Jesus is precious. Any parent knows how precious our children are. Jesus is precious to God. And He's chosen by God. And He is the living stone. He is alive. He is powerful. Continuing. You also, like living stones. You're not Jesus, but you like Him. That's pretty good. I'm not Jesus. I don't want to be Jesus. I'm not sure I could pull it off, to tell you the truth. I don't want to go up on that cross. I'm just going to be honest, man. That scares me a little bit. Doesn't it scare you a little bit? When you see the description of what happens? But as you, like living stones, are being built, being in process. We're not done yet. We're in process. That's why I'm telling you, you're not going to see it. You're not going to know it. You're not going to understand it even. You may not even like it. I'm telling you, sometimes you're going to go through stuff, you ain't even going to want to be going through this, but it's going to be forming you. It's going to be helping you. It's going to be preparing you for talking to that person who's going through the exact same thing. You're not going to like it, but when God uses it, you're going to love it. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You don't have to go to somebody and to talk to God. You are the vehicle. You have the vehicle in Christ. Offering spiritual sacrifices. I'm still working through this. It doesn't always come clear by the time I do the message. Sometimes, actually, when I'm up here and we're talking right now, it's ding, it finally comes clear. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I can think of the easy ones, you know, prayer and communion and helping somebody else out. It's not any of those. I think it's looking in the mirror. That's hard. It's hard to look in the mirror. I mean, really look in the mirror. I'm not talking about look in the mirror and part my hair. I'm talking about look in the mirror, look into my eyes, and look into my very soul. Look into all my behaviors. Look into all my actions. Look into everything I've done. Look into me. Look into what I am doing. Look into, am I content? Am I satisfied? Look. Those are the spiritual sacrifices I think we're talking about here. It's letting go of yourself and letting God describe you. Acceptable to God through Jesus. And it makes sense, right? Because that is what's acceptable. That's what God is looking at. He's not looking at the stuff I'm looking at. When I look in the mirror, I'm looking at like my behavior and all the stuff we talked about trying to be holy and malice and all that stuff we talked about. That's not what He's looking at. What He's looking at is my purity, my potential, where I can go, what He can do with me, my sacrifice, my submitting. I'm telling you, I didn't have any of that. See, the Holy Spirit speaks through you when you allow Him to speak, continuing. And mind you, this is Peter speaking. For in Scripture, Peter goes all the way back to the Old Testament. For in Scripture, in the Old Testament, it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, And the one who trusts in him would never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. That's what I should have underlined.
Yes.
We're never put to shame. You know, I've had conversations before with God, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. I let you down. I could have done better. I should have done better. I could have done this or that. It could have worked out better if I would have just. You know what he said to me? I'm telling you, when you get deep in prayer, God speaks back. He said to me, Tom, I love that he used my name. He did. He said, Tom, you could never let me down. A weight came off my shoulders. And it's been off ever since. I never go there anymore. I never, ever, ever think I let God down. It's impossible to let God down. He loves us too much. Continuing, you'll never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone that rejected has become the cornerstone. And so I'm sure Roman or some of my other friends who are into construction can talk to you about what a cornerstone is all about. I'm telling you, a cornerstone, without a cornerstone, you got no building. Without a cornerstone, everything's going to fall apart. A cornerstone is the area, if I had some of the masons in here, my father-in-law was a mason, they could tell you, because they looked at Solomon's temple and how they built it. A cornerstone is your starting point. Your cornerstone is where everything is built from. It's from everything is measured from that cornerstone. Without that cornerstone, that building is going to fall down. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the starting point. But the key word here is not cornerstone, it's believe. What we believe is so important. We talked before about that. That what we believe, that becomes our habits, what we do. And as our habits form, what we believe become our habits. And our habits become who we are, our values. Who we are. It's really hard to change your value system. And when you get married, that's the first thing is, okay, what do you value? What do I value? Where is it you're set here? And we got some disagreements. We got to work that out because your value system is core. But what you believe becomes habits. What you do become your value, who you are. What you believe. That's what Jesus is always talking about. Hey, if you got to believe in me. But we know that's not enough because even the enemy believes in Jesus. He understands him a lot more than I do. But he isn't saved. He isn't anywhere near. My friend in my disciple-making group helped me out with all that. He said, and he just quoted scripture, that you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It's what's in here. That's what, we're not playing mind games with God. We're not playing wordsmith with God. He knows what you believe. He knows what you really are. He knows what it's all about. Continuing. And a stone that causes people to stumble. A rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. This is the word that really struck me. Destined. How does this have to do with our destiny? We're talking about a stone that causes people to stumble, and we know we're talking about Jesus, right? Jesus is the stone, and then people stumble because we got people stumbling all over the place in this world, not wanting to believe and not having needing God, and they're stumbling all over, and we got all kinds of issues going on in this world, don't we? That's because people are stumbling around. A rock that makes them fall. You know, people, when they reject that stone, they're on their own. When they reject that stone, they're on their own. And we don't do great on our own. We don't do great on our own without people around us. We certainly don't do great without God around us. And so if we reject that stone, we stumble. We fall on that stone. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. What does that mean? They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. What is the message that we're stumbling on? What is it that we are destined for? How do I find my destiny? I'll tell you one clue is what is your gifts? What are your abilities? What do you like to do? What is your passion? What gets you revved up? I mean, people who have the gift of helping love to help people. They just can't get enough. What can I do for you? What can I do for you too? And you. People who want to prophesy. What that means is you're speaking into people's lives and saying, hey, like what we just got done doing, God has a purpose for you. God has a plan. God is going to have you do amazing things. That's prophesizing into people. That's encouraging people. We all have different gifts. They are outlined in Scripture. But when we disobey the message, and the message is that God loves us. The message is that God sent His Son here to die for us. The message is that God is transforming us. The message, when we stumble and we disobey that message, how do you disobey that message?
First of all, I'm not even listening.
Not listening. I think that's key. We disobey the message because we don't listen to the message. You gotta listen to it before you can do anything about it, right? So first of all, we don't listen to the message. So that's one way of disobeying it. And then even if we do hear the message, it's got to register, right? There's actually a synapse in our brain that when we have a message, it's got to jump over that synapse. This is true. And it's got to register here, and then it's got to come back over here. It's got to jump over. It's got to have enough voltage for us to have it register and stay in the memory. So we have to listen, we gotta let it jump over the synapse, and then what?
Obey.
Which is probably the hardest part of all. Because sometimes we hear the message and we don't like the message. Sometimes we hear the message and we're like, oh. And most of the time, we misinterpret the message. There's so many people who won't come to the Lord because they think they gotta be perfect. That's not what it says. It says quite the opposite. It says if you sin, you gotta repent. You gotta change your mind. You gotta say, oh, I screwed up. How many of us have screwed up? How many times have we screwed up? Over and over and over again. And God continually is restoring us. They stumble because they disobey the message. And the message is all of God's love, all of His acceptance. Sometimes we just beat ourselves up. I don't know about you, but I beat myself up. And sometimes we just beat ourselves up so much that we can't even listen, we can't even hear, we can't even obey, because we're too busy beating ourselves. Anybody get this? Anybody there? This is me for sure. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. I want to get to that. That we are destined for this. What are we destined for? You know, there's this path I'm supposed to walk. There is this path, but I will veer over here, and I'll get nudged back over, and I'll get back on the path. Make sense? And I know that that's my life, okay? So, but I won't understand that path as I'm on it. I won't know where I'm getting to. I'll see signs. I'll get nudged. But I won't understand the destination until I get there. Except we have a guiding star. Like the sailors have in the ocean. They have a guiding star before we had compasses and all this other stuff. They did the North Star thing, man. They knew where North was because that's where the North Star was, and they would follow the North Star. We have a guiding star, and that guiding star is Jesus. And He's not only a guiding star, He's also the power of the boat. that's moving us through the water. He's also the guidance that keeps us from going off into the rocks and into the cliffs. He's that lighthouse. He is everything. He's that entire path. He is the path. We talked about that. So our destiny has to do with the message about Jesus, because our destiny is Jesus. You see that? Our destiny is Jesus. Now, exactly how that's going to play out for you, I don't know. Will it be in a youth camp with some kids? I don't know. Is it going to be at your house talking to your kids? I don't know. Is it going to be that you're going to do this amazing event and get money for a whole bunch of people with cancer? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the vehicle right yet. I know the destination is Jesus, and I know He is the power, and He is guiding. He's like the bumpers, like you ever bow and with the little kids, and they put the bumpers up so you don't go into the gutters. He's the bumpers. He's the power behind your throw. He's the strike when you all the pins go down. He's the jubilation from all the crowd around you. I remember one time I was bowling and I had a perfect game going, and everybody in the bowling alley started watching me. I started getting really nervous. I think I only had like 3 or 4 or 5 in a row. I don't know. A lot of pressure at that point. Mike knows what I'm talking about. And by the time you get into that 6th or 7th ball, man, if people are looking at you, are you going to have a perfect game? You know, He is that perfect game. He is perfect in every way, and He is empowering you, continuing. But you are a chosen, you're chosen. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. In other words, we have a testimony. We got something to say. We got something to tell people. We have a message that hopefully they will not stumble on. Continuing. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. My greatest compliment I can give to anybody, and I don't do it lightly, is when I say that you are a man or a woman of God. I am very serious when I say that to somebody. And I say it to a lot of people. But that means that you obey, that you hear, that you walk, that you try, that you want to be. Really, it's got more to do with you want to be a child of God. You want to walk with Him. Continuing. So what do we do with this? Find your destiny. It's fun. It's exciting. It's a revelation. It's life. It is life to abundancy. It's abundant life. Find your destiny. I already told you, your destiny has to do with Jesus. You can see, find your Jesus here, okay? That's your destiny. Now, how will it work out? How will it play out? I don't know. Watch for the signs. Look at your gifts. What are you talented at? What are you good at? What do you like to do? Where's your passion? What gets you revved up, man? What's, like helping somebody or seeing this project, a building project come to, and making a building. That's why we got these mission trips that people go and build these giant churches and stuff overseas, or just a one room house for kids to go into. Or is it like Miss Laura right now with those kids? That's just revving her up. You know, even if you're an introvert, which I am, when you get into the God thing, you become an extrovert immediately because your passion. Talk to me about astronomy, man. We'll be talking for hours. I love astronomy. I can tell you all kinds of things about it. You know, what's your passion? What do you like to do? Find your destiny. I so pray for each of you to find your destiny, because God has this unlimited potential for you. And like we said before, and I'll close with this. When you leave here and you go to heaven, your crown is going to be all the people that you influenced. All the ones you helped get there. Because that's really the only destiny that we have is when we leave here. When Ed left here, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's with God forever and ever and ever. But we got to make that decision now. Another pastor was there and he kind of helped with the message with me as he challenged everybody. That's our destiny. But we have to choose. Did I hear about choosing your destiny? You have to choose your destiny. You got to choose Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father God. Oh boy, I thank you. I thank you for the grace when I stumbled with the names. I thank you for the grace when I called out names the other week and I forgot one. I thank you that I can make mistakes and pick myself back up. And actually, you picked me back up just like you picked up Peter. But I ask, out of all of it, that we hear, that we listen, that we understand and we don't misinterpret your message. That you, Lord Jesus, are our destiny. We don't have to look further. We don't have to figure it all out. You are our destiny. And now we are on this amazing ride of how it will play out. Help us to see that, dear Holy Spirit. Help us to understand that. Help us to know that. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
When Pastor Tom gives us a message, God is revealing himself through that message. He reveals himself through the worship, through our songs, through what is being said. And we actively engage with our Lord here in his house. When we stand and we sing back to him after a message, we are engaging in response to our Lord. Our spirits know what he's saying to us, and we respond to him. Let's stand and sing this song.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Mistakes and failures in everything. Have your way with me. Mold me, make me into who you'd have me be. And help me discover, find my destiny. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord.